Earlier this week, we talked about the high number of COVID-19 deaths linked to long-term care facilities like nursing homes and assisted living communities. Last week, a USA Today investigation connected more than 16,000 deaths in these facilities to the coronavirus. But as we've reported on this show, that number is almost certainly an undercount. On Tuesday, New York State announced more than 1,700 COVID-19 deaths of long-term care residents that had not been previously reported, bringing the total in that state to nearly 5,000 people. In an attempt to limit the spread of coronavirus, most long-term care facilities are no longer allowing family members or friends to visit residents, and interactions between people living in these facilities are also being limited. And that means for many elderly people, social distancing rules can increase feelings of loneliness.
Really, the way we describe it is that it is something that is distressing to people, and it is the discrepancy or the difference between the relationships you actually have and those that you wish you had.
That's Dr. Carla Perisunoto, the Associate Chief for Geriatrics Clinical Programs at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Perisunoto says that while loneliness is largely subjective, the term social isolation is similar and easier to measure.
Social isolation is actually something that's more quantifiable in terms of the number of relationships and the types of relationships that someone has. So another way to think about it also is right now during the COVID pandemic, there are people that, because of physical distancing policies, are becoming socially isolated because they literally have fewer relationships than they did prior to the pandemic.
A recent report Perisunoto worked on for the National Academies of Sciences looked at the health impacts of social isolation and loneliness among seniors. I asked her to walk me through some of the major findings from that research.
Really, we need to think about both loneliness and isolation as a new and emerging public health concern that cannot be ignored by our healthcare communities because of the health effects, which include everything from increased risk of loss of independence for adults, increased mortality, increased risk of cardiovascular diseases, which include heart attacks and strokes, worsened diabetes, worsened depression, worsened cognitive impairment and dementia, frailty. The health effects are really so profound that the report summarized that if we do not pay attention to this growing public health problem, we are going to see significant worsening or potentially worsening of chronic health problems in older adults.
I mean, you mentioned some of those long-term impacts. How are we able to determine what will leave long-lasting impressions on seniors? What loneliness now can mean for their future of their health tomorrow?
So that is really one of the fundamental questions and why, while we have quite a bit of research right now, that is a question that we still do not know, and why many of us who work and do research in this space are particularly concerned about the pandemic. And what I mean by that is the public health policies that we are developing now, which are to create physical distancing, are incredibly important in the now in terms of reducing the spread of COVID during the pandemic. The concern is that we do not know how long it takes for someone to have lasting effects from loneliness and isolation. So it is possible that even a week, a month of this could have lasting effects. And so that is a great concern.
I feel like I'm hearing anecdotally from a lot of my friends and just people that I know that they seem to be upping the number of phone calls or even video chats with the seniors in their lives. Are things like phone calls or video chats considered meaningful contact that can actually ease feelings of loneliness for seniors?
That is a tough question to answer. And I think the hope is that yes, but we don't know in reality. I think the way we think about it is that some contact may be better than no contact, and for two reasons. One, it is reminding that senior older adult that they're not alone and that someone's thinking about them. But we don't know what meaningful is because that's very subjective. And I've seen a couple things also anecdotally in my own patients or in my own community that for some, it makes them actually feel potentially a little bit more isolated because they miss that person even more by not being able to see them. The other part about this is that what happens post-pandemic? Are we going to go back to where we were before, which is unfortunately ignoring older adults. We live in an incredibly ageist country and world where we often just relegate older adults to the sidelines. And so while it is fantastic that we are finally remembering older adults, is that there is some fear amongst the older adult community that we will go back to ignoring them once this is all done.
I'm thinking about seniors who have limited financial resources, especially. Is this period of isolation going to impact them more severely than others?
Yeah. So in the research that I've done in terms of looking at who were the people that expressed higher degrees of loneliness, the study that I did showed that people who were older, women, people from minority groups, and lower socioeconomic status were at greater risk and reported higher rates of loneliness. And what we're seeing now during times of pandemic is that, you know, stretching your money further is harder. The other thing that I'm finding, if you think about both the healthcare aspect and just the social component of phone calls and video, many of my own patients who are low income don't have data plans, for example, that can support video visits. And so I tried to have a video visit with one of my patients 2 weeks ago, and the patient's daughter said, I just can't do that because we don't have a plan that supports that, or we don't have internet. And so that means we're actually leaving a pretty big segment of the population out. And so if we don't think about as a country or as a healthcare system where I work, how to reach and help people who are low income and who are, you know, across the digital divide or marginalized, we're missing a big segment of the population, and particularly worsening health and mental health for people who are already quite vulnerable.
I know that you also have a 76-year-old mother who was living on her own at the early stages of the outbreak. And now, from what I understand, she's living with your family, right?
She is, yeah. And I think, you know, what was really interesting about the decision with my mom is that, you know, here I am, a geriatrician and palliative medicine doctor doing this as a profession, and finding myself having the same conversations with my mother that I do with my patients, which is, how do we get through this period? What are your risks? And what do you do if you get sick? And I think what was important with my mom is that we had a conversation and we said, Mom, what is important to you? And, you know, what kind of risk do you want to accept? And how do we make sure we protect you and are being, you know, good citizens and making sure we're not putting other people at risk? I think many other people are just making automatic decisions for older adults and saying, we're not going to see you and you stay here and we stay here. And in my family, we had a conversation, and my mom was already experiencing loneliness after the death of my father a year and a half ago. And as a family, we decided, you know, why don't you come stay with us and we'll take it on a week by week basis.
What's your advice for people whose loved ones are older and either living alone or maybe living in a long-term care facility? And as the other part of that question, I mean, what's your advice for older people themselves who might be listening and feeling some of this loneliness?
I think there's two parts. It's exactly what I've done with my mother, which is have the conversation. Don't make assumptions. Don't make decisions for the older adult. And for the older adults who are listening, make your voice heard. There's a lot of things that are assumed about what you want and don't want, and it's important that we know what's actually important to you. My mom was willing to take a certain amount of risk and in order to be with people. There's also this part that it's been completely extrapolated to saying zero contact, when really it's thinking about prolonged contact and minimizing risk. And so how do you do those things? So as we move forward, the conversations we need to have with our families or our friends who are older is, how can we start to reintroduce social connection and visits and doing it in a measured way? It doesn't mean we're suddenly going to go from zero contact to a party of 50 people, but maybe one visit at a time and spaced out so we can monitor those. And it's also thinking about, should I get sick? What is important to me? And what are my wishes? Do I want to be in the hospital? Do I want to be on a ventilator? All those questions that are very hard for people to talk about. But frankly, now is the time to really think about that and ask our friends and our parents and our loved ones who are older, and for the older adult to make their wishes known. Sometimes the kids are more uncomfortable talking about it than the actual older person.
Dr. Carla Parisinotto is the Associate Chief for Geriatrics Clinical Programs at the University of California, San Francisco. Thank you so much, Dr. Parisinotto.
Thank you.
Only the lonely know each melody.
Luckily, there are a lot of folks out there thinking about how to support older people right now.
How people can help is to reach out to your older friends and neighbors, but keep a significant distance.
That's Mark Merity, the executive director of DEROTE, a New York City-based nonprofit that works to alleviate social isolation for older people. We asked him for his take on what people can do to support the aging population during COVID-19, even though in-person visits are not yet an option.
Even as some states begin to open up, keeping that social distancing away from older adults is really critical. And for me, who have spent a vast majority of my career in the field of aging, it breaks my heart to tell people that they have to keep away from older adults. But the reality is today that it is absolutely essential until we're able to bring this virus under control.
But Mark also said there's a lot we can do right now, even for those who might not have easy access to technology, as is the case with many older Americans.
What people can do is they can pick up the telephone and call an older friend, call an older neighbor, call an older relative that you may not have spoken to for many years. Now's the time to pick up the phone. For those that do have access to technology, on our website, deroteusa.org, we have new guides that we have created where people can help older adults walk through how to use their smartphones, how to use Zoom, how to use WhatsApp so that they too can connect and be able to cross that digital divide and stay connected with other people.
And for our older takeaway listeners, he has a message for you.
My message to older adults is first, thank you. You have contributed an enormous amount to our society, and because of what you've been able to do, you have enriched all of our lives. Second, I would say that it's really important not to be afraid to reach out. It's important to reach out to your friends and to your neighbors. You can be just as much of an assist to help others by your reaching out as others can be for reaching out to older adults.
Head to thetakeaway.org for links to resources for the elderly from the National Council on Aging, including support lines for those experiencing loneliness. We'll keep talking on the show about COVID-19's effect on the older population. And if you yourself are older and you would like to share your experience, including if you've been dealing with isolation and loneliness, call us, leave us a message at 8778-MYTAKE, or you can send an email to takeawaydigital@gmail.com.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.